Good morning, everybody. It is nice to be with you again on the Sunday, and praise the Lord that we are able to fellowship together. I'm going to preach to you again from Joshua today, and we're going to deal with chapter 9, the whole of chapter 9, so get your Bibles ready, and we're going to read from chapter 9 from the book of Joshua. Now, we know that the book of Joshua is about the Christian life. And so how do we live the Christian life is the main question of this book. This particular chapter I have entitled Off Guard and On Target. Off Guard and On Target. You see, for me, gullibility is one of the biggest plagues in the church of God. People are easily deceived. People are easily misled. And just accepting everything without discernment, that is how people have become. They are undiscerning. I have an illustration about gullibility. And that illustration is some of my travels overseas, is that when you travel overseas, you tend to be gullible to overpay or to buy overpriced souvenirs. And this is what I found myself guilty of. Gullible people are always off guard. Gullible people are always misjudging. And it is because of this plague, I must admit, that I do thank God that there is the other possibility, that we can be on target. That possibility is provided for us by the fact of God's providence. You know what? I am becoming more and more enchanted, more and more enamored, more and more excited about the providence of God. What is the providence of God? It is the foresight of God. It is the timely caring of God. God is always on time. God is always at the right place. And so praise God for the possibility of being on target. Like I said, my sermon's title, Off Guard and On Target. And as we read from Joshua chapter 9, from verse 1 to 27, you will understand and hear this story, but please hear it with this in mind. There is an off guard as well as an on target aspect to it. I'm going to ask Carla to read from this chapter to us. Let's read the Word of God.
The Gibeonite Deception. Now when all the kings west of the Jordan heard about these things, the kings in the hill country, in the western foothills, and along the entire coast of the Mediterranean Sea as far as Lebanon, the kings of the Hittites, Amorites, Canaanites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites, they came together to wage war against Joshua and Israel. However, when the people of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done to Jericho and Ai, they resorted to a ruse. They went as a delegation whose donkeys were loaded with worn-out sacks and old wineskins, cracked and mended. They put worn and patched sandals on their feet and wore old clothes. All the bread of their food supply was dry and moldy. Then they went to Joshua in the camp of Gilgal and said to him and the Israelites, "We have come from a distant country. Make a treaty with us." The Israelites said to the Hivites, "But perhaps you live near us, so how can we make a treaty with you?" "We are your servants," they said to Joshua. But Joshua asked, "Who are you and where do you come from?" They answered, "Your servants have come from a very distant country because of the fame of the Lord your God. For we have heard reports of him, all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, Sihon king of Heshbon, and Og king of Bashan, who reigned in Ashtaroth. And our elders and all those living in our country said to us, 'Take provisions for your journey. Go and meet them and say to them, "We are your servants. Make a treaty with us." This bread of ours was warm when we packed it at home on the day we left to come to you. But now see how dry and moldy it is. and these wineskins that we filled were new, but see how cracked they are, and our clothes and sandals are worn out by the very long journey. The Israelites sampled their provisions, but did not inquire of the Lord. Then Joshua made a treaty of peace with them to let them live, and the leaders of the assembly ratified it by oath. 3 days after they made the treaty with the Gibeonites, the Israelites heard that they were neighbors living near them. So the Israelites set out on the third day, and on the third day came to their cities, Gibeon, Kephirah, Beeroth, and Kiriath-Jearim. But the Israelites did not attack them, because the leaders of the assembly had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. The whole assembly grumbled against the leaders, but all the leaders answered, "We have given them our oath by the Lord, the God of Israel, and we cannot touch them now. This is what we will do to them. We will let them live, so that God's wrath will not fall on us for breaking the oath we swore to them." They continued, "Let them live, but let them be woodcutters and water carriers in the service of the whole assembly." So the leaders' promise to them was kept. Then Joshua summoned the Gibeonites and said, "Why did you deceive us by saying, 'We live a long way from you,' while actually you live near us? You are now under a curse. You will never be released from service as woodcutters and water carriers for the house of my God." They answered Joshua, "Your servants were clearly told how the Lord your God had commanded his servant Moses to give you the whole land and to wipe out all its inhabitants from before you. So we feared for our lives because of you, and that is why we did this. We are now in your hands. Do to us whatever seems good and right to you." So Joshua saved them from the Israelites, and they did not kill them. That day he made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the assembly, to provide for the needs of the altar of the Lord at the place the Lord would choose. And that is what they are to this day.
Amen. Thank you, Carla. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we pray that as we unpack your word and its application to us, that, Lord, you will apply it to our lives in such a way that we will grow by it, that we will glorify your name, and that, Lord, we would live as an example to the world. We thank you that we are able to read and proclaim your word. And so as I proclaim your word, Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit come upon me, that I may preach your word with your power, and that your people may be touched accordingly. This, Lord, I pray in your precious name with much thanksgiving. Amen. My sermon title, Off Guard and On Target. Actually, that title made it easier for me. I have two headings in my sermon. The first one is Off Guard, and the second one is On Target. Off Guard. We look at verses 1 to 15, and we understand the story the way it unfolds. When the leaders of Israel were off guard, they became gullible. They became undiscerning, thoughtless, and they were easily deceived. But when people are off guard, like the people of God were in this occasion, they are not intentional about their wrongdoing. And so many times we as Christians are caught off guard. But when we are caught off guard, we are not intentional with our wrongdoings. The Gibeonites in the story, on the other hand, who represent the people of the world, are very intentional in their wrongdoing. In fact, many times, most of the times, they actually go out trying to trick the people of God. This was the Gibeonites' intention. This was indeed how they calculated things to be. This was a premeditated thing for them. Now, how do I say that? Because I can see three things that are true about the Gibeonites. First of all, they were informed. Secondly, they were deliberate. And thirdly, they were desperate. But in their informedness, we know that they were informed about the history of Israel. They knew a lot about the Israelites. They were informed about the God of the Israelites. They knew what this God had done for the people of God. And so, the fame of God became known to the Gibeonites. And we see that the deeds that God had done, how that God overcame the king of Bashan, how the God became, overcame the king of Heshbon. And so we see, therefore, that they understood what God is able to do for his people. They were informed. But they were also deliberate. They were deliberate in their actions. They came to where Israel was. They were informed where the Israelites were camping. They came there with the specific purpose of making a treaty with the people of God. They did not want to fight against Israel because they understood that fighting against Israel is to fight against God, because God is for them. And if God be for them, who can be against them? That they understood. They also understood that the only way that they could perhaps survive was to come with deception. And they came with deception. It was well planned. It was well propped. It was well produced, this deception of theirs. And when I talk about their props, first of all, they came, they planned, and they were sent as a delegation by their people to go and approach the Israelites for a treaty, we are told. We are also told that they came with all their packages and stuff, that they had their luggage and everything that they had. And they made sure everything was old and moldy and whatever else. We see that they had bread. And they take out the bread and the bread is moldy. And they tell the Israelites that in fact these breads were put into their bags fresh. And now, because they come from such a distant land, it is moldy. They talk about the wine. The wine was new wine when it was put into the wine skins. And now the wine skins are cracked and it looks old. And the Israelites looked at these things because we are told in the text that they investigated their baggage. We're also told that their clothes were old and torn. Their clothes were not flashy and nice and whatever else, but it looked like they wore the same clothing for the whole journey, for a year, maybe even if they were on the journey for that year. But we know it was all lies. Their sandals were patched, we are told, as if they used those pairs that they had on for the whole journey, and the whole journey was for so long that the sandals looked the way that they did. The world has got no problem in telling lies. They are about deceiving, and that's how they go about deceiving whom they can be deceived. But we know, as the people of God in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, the Bible tells us, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his wicked deeds. God hates lying. And they came with lying and deceiving. The third thing about the Gibeonites is that they were desperate. The Bible tells us that they feared for their lives. Then verse 23 and verse 24. And they so feared for their lives that they would rather be cursed than to be dead. I think most of us would want to do that. We would rather want to be cursed than to be dead. And so the Gibeonites would be cursed and live. They were convincing. They convinced Joshua. They convinced the leaders. And by the way, the leaders are called the exalted ones. They were like princes. Both Joshua, the leader of the Israelites, a man of God, a man who served under the mentorship of Moses himself, a man who has been taken out of Egypt, has come through the Red Sea, has come through the desert for 40 years, has now walked through the Jordan River. This man also was caught off guard. They convinced him, and they convinced the leaders. And the Bible says that Joshua made a treaty with the Gibeonites. Not only so, the Bible also says that the leaders, or the elevated ones, made an oath by the Lord, the God of Israel. And so, they made this oath in the name of the Lord. And any oath that is made in the name of the Lord is an oath that is binding. It is binding. And here, I want to say this. It sticks out like a sore thumb. It is there in verse 14. But the Israelites did not inquire of the Lord. But the Israelites did not inquire of the Lord. The people of God did not inquire of the Lord. Joshua did not inquire of the Lord. The leaders did not inquire of the Lord. And so, they were open and they were off guard. Yes, even God's people can be off guard. And even God's people can be found in a place where they do not inquire of the Lord. And if we don't inquire of the Lord, we are bound to make treaties that we're going to regret. If we don't inquire from the Lord, of the Lord, then we will find ourselves erring, and we will find ourselves falling into traps that we didn't want happening to us. Never, never underestimate the influence of prayer. People of God, we need to be on our knees constantly. We need to be on our knees always. We need to be praying to God. We need to be inquiring of the Lord. Actually, you know what? We think that only the big things require inquiry from the Lord. But the smaller things, we can decide for ourselves. In the smaller things, we can make up our minds. And so we go through life as the people of God without inquiring from the Lord, because we take everything to be small enough. I'm reminded of my friend who makes this funny joke. That him and his wife are married for over 40 years and they are happily married. But that's because they decided from day one in their marriage that all the major decisions belongs to the husband, because he is the head of the home. And all the minor decisions can be made by the wife. And he said to me that to this day they have only had minor decisions. Well, I think that that is what our relationship is to the Lord. Is that, you know what? We only have the minor decisions in our lives. We have no major decisions. There are no decisions like that that we need to go and inquire of the Lord about. But today we are learning from this story that even if we can investigate their bags, and even if we can find out that their bread is moldy, and even if we can see that their wine sacks are cracked, and their sandals are patched, and their clothing is worn, doesn't mean to say that we must make the decisions without being informed by the Lord. We must inquire from the Lord, because our unaided intellect is not enough. And people of God, if we do not inquire from the Lord, it makes us gullible and it puts us off guard. That brings me to my second heading, and praise the Lord that the story does not end there. The second part of my sermon is on target, and we see that from chapter 9, verse 16 to verse 27. How come on target? Well, actually, I believe that we can only in this story talk about on target because of the providence of God, because of the sovereign providence of God. God, we see, works in everything. God works in spite of our mess-ups. God works everything for good to those who love the Lord, for those that are called according to His purpose, according to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. We see here that there are three things that I want us to briefly look at as we come to the close of our sermon. The first is that the people of God had a dilemma. The second is that they needed to make a decision about that dilemma. And the third is that there is an outcome to the story. And praise God that there is a good outcome to the story. What was the dilemma, first of all? The dilemma was that when they left Egypt, and God's commandment to Moses was that He would take them to the land of the Canaanites, and their mandate was to destroy all the Canaanites. But the Gibeonites came with their lies, their deception, and they caught the people of God, the people of God, off guard. The Bible says that they had to now choose between the mandate that God has given them and now the oath that they have sworn by God, by the Lord, the God of Israel. And so they are in this dilemma. On the one hand, there's God's mandate. We are told what to do with the Canaanites. Excuse me. But on the other hand, we have made a sworn oath in the name of God. And these two things clash against each other. And 3 days later, after they had sworn the oath, they find out that the Gibeonites actually deceived them, because they were their neighbors. They were not from far. They were their neighbors. They heard that. They set up. And they set out in order to go to the Gibeonites. But what is striking there in verse 18. We are told, but Israel did not attack them. We are also told, because they had sworn an oath by the Lord, the God of Israel. You see, even though the whole assembly of the Israelites grumbled against the leaders, sometimes when we lead God's people and we are caught off guard and we make mistakes, that you get the people of God grumbling against the leaders. And this was exactly the case with Joshua and the leaders, or the elevated ones. The people grumbled against them. You see, the people wanted them to attack the Gibeonites. The people wanted them to destroy the Gibeonites. But the problem is, they made a sworn an oath in the name of God. And so by the wisdom that God gave the leaders, they summoned the Gibeonites to a meeting. And they asked the Gibeonites, why did you deceive us? And the Gibeonites are honest. They said, because we feared for our lives because of you. We were scared you are going to destroy us. And that is why we wanted you to make a treaty, which is what you have done. And then Joshua and the leader says, well, because you have done so by telling lies, you are under a curse. And so we know that the Gibeonites were cursed to serve the people of God as woodcutters and water carriers. They were there, and three times in verse 21, 23, and 27, we are told that they were made woodcutters and water carriers for both the people of God, the entire assembly, the entire congregation, and to be woodcutters and water carriers for the altar of the Lord. The decision then had to be made. And this brings me to my second point under this heading. The decision had to be based on two things. First, it had to be based on integrity. And secondly, it had to be based on justice. And both integrity and justice were upheld. The Bible says that because they honored the name of God, they would not break the oath that was made in the name of God, an oath that was now binding upon them. And so the Gibeonites were spared to live. They honored the name of God. And people of God, I tell you what, it is so heartrending that today we are living amongst Christians who are men and women who lack integrity. God help us to be men and women of integrity. The other day, I met a student of mine, and she's from Zimbabwe, and she said to me, you know what, Dr. Puff? Only one thing that will always remind me about you is the word integrity. Because I preach to my students, I share with my students that we have to be a people of integrity. Integrity is necessary. Integrity makes me a man of my word. Integrity makes me a man who does what I must do. Integrity is make me a man that is to be trustworthy by others. And so I can go on with the many benefits of integrity. And here the people of God had to maintain their integrity in their relationship with God. And they would not dishonor the name of God. And praise God that they did not dishonor His name. They did not dishonor His name to the Gibeonites. They would not dishonor the name to the people of the world. And I tell you what, we people of God must live such lives that we do not bring dishonor on the name of the living God, as on the name of our God. But within this decision, there also had to be justice. And the Bible said that Joshua said to them that because of your deception, there is a curse upon you. That was punishment. The curse upon them so that they would serve for all their lives to be woodcutters and water carriers for the people of God and for the altar of God. But you know what, beloved? That within this justice, I cannot help but to notice this word, that they were cursed as punishment. And so, as we come to the third point, the outcome of this whole story is we see that God's agenda is being held to, is being kept. God's agenda is the agenda that is unfolding. And praise God, yes, the people of God can make mistakes. We all make mistakes. And we all are found to be sometimes off guard. And sometimes we are gullible to the deceptions of the world. But I must also say, to our dismay, that the people, even the people of God are using deceptive languages. We are getting preachers who are deceptive for the sake of money. Preachers who are deceptive because they are using their power to undermine the people of God. What about those who are going after women and using them because they are just living a life that is less than a life of integrity? God help us that we, the people of God, should see God's agenda in front of us, that we would submit to the agenda of God in our lives. And in this case, by God's providence, even though they were of God, even though they were gullible, by God's providence, they were on target. They didn't even know that they were on target. But praise God, the people of God, this is how it is. Now, it's also nice to see this in verse 26. So Joshua saved them, that's the Gibeonites, and did not kill them. You know, I cannot but help to draw this connection. Do you know that the word or the name Joshua is exactly the same name of Jesus? Yeshua, Joshua, that was the name of Jesus. And he was given the name of Jesus so that he will save his people from their sins. And here, as Joshua saved them, the Gibeonites, I believe that our Lord Jesus Christ saves sinners. Saves the people of the world. We were once people of the world, and now we have been saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. But why? How come our Lord Jesus Christ could save us? And I'm coming back to this, that He saved us by becoming a curse. You see, the Gibeonites received the punishment of a curse. And our Lord Jesus Christ received not punishment for what he had done wrong, but he received our punishment, and our punishment brought a curse on him, because whoever dies on the cross is under a curse. And so our Lord Jesus Christ became a curse so that he could save us. That is by the providence of God. That is by the agenda of God. That is by the plan of God. That is by the foresight of God. And so I praise God for His providence. And verse 27 says, that day He made the Gibeonites woodcutters and water carriers for the assembly to provide for, listen this, to this, to provide for the needs of the altar of the Lord. Beloved, these Gibeonites, deceivers. In this way, the Gibeonites entered into the service of the living God. Oh, what a wonderful story this is. Yes, they were placed under a curse, but by that curse came their salvation. They were saved. And in their salvation, in their being saved, they entered the service of the Lord by providing wood and water for the altar of the Lord. You see, we all make mistakes. But God can make His people profit from their mistakes. And then lastly, God makes the best of Christians' mistakes. Why? Only by His sovereign providence. He makes everything to work out for good. Even the bad things that we do, He makes to work out for good. This story is a demonstration of that. Of God and on target. The Lord bless you. Let's pray together. Thank you, Father, for your word. And thank you, Lord, that we could go into your word and that your word was able to speak to us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will use it in the lives of your people. With much thanksgiving, we pray and ask. Amen.